I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short. Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I'm going to turn my focus to Palestinian-Israeli issues, and specifically to the people power of the many world citizens on the boats going to Gaza at the end of June, perhaps as I speak. I need to state the fact that I'm not anti-Semitic. I criticize my own government when I think it's doing wrong, and I'm not anti-American. I'm just against a government that doesn't listen to or represent the will of its people. I'm also appalled at the inhumane treatment of the Palestinians by the Israeli government. As you'll hear on the show today, many of the folks on the boats going to Gaza are also Jews, who are critical of the Israeli government also. The theme for today's show is boats, and in particular, boats that have been attacked or are threatened with attack by the Israeli military. The first boat is the USS Liberty, and here's a clip from an interview by Press TV of survivors of the USS Liberty. I'll let them tell the story.
They shouldn't be called an ally. They don't deserve it.
4 days into the 1967 Six-Day War, these men witnessed and survived one of the most deadliest attacks on an American vessel by a close U.S. ally, Israel.
The torpedo entered the ship right about here.
42 years ago, Israeli jet fighter planes and torpedo boats bombarded an American intelligence navy ship, the USS Liberty, with a series of attacks. The assault lasted 2 hours, according to survivors, killed 34 crewmen, injured over 170 others, and nearly sunk the ship.
The whole story of it being an accident is just not true.
Although for decades the Israelis insist the incident was a case of friendly fire, the victims of the attack confirmed the Israelis were fully aware they were attacking an American ship.
Israel claims that they were not flying a flag and that was a mistaken identity, but I know for myself that we were flying a flag.
A lot of it we believe was covered up, that it was an intentional act by Israel to sink the ship with all hands, no survivors.
Why do you think they would have bombed the ship?
Their next plan was to attack the Golan Heights. So the troops they had on the Sinai now had to be moved to take the Golan Heights. The fact that the Israelis were massacring Egyptian troops, Egyptian prisoners of war. They had so many of them, and once again, they wanted to move all the troops they could to the Syrian border, and they couldn't handle the Egyptian prisoners of war. So they massacred them. So it's perceived that they thought that we were intercepting the fact that that happened.
This is a provocative act of war. Would you not agree?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What happened? How did the U.S. react when this happened?
USS Saratoga, which was some, I can't tell you how many miles away, but it was several miles away, launched aircraft to come to our aid once we got the Mayday signal out. And those jets were recalled by McNamara, I believe. They relaunched, and the second wave was called back by President Johnson himself. That he did not want, for whatever reason, did not want the U.S. involved in this on our side.
What do you think that is?
Because I think Israel has too much money and they can have too many controlling interests in our government.
I know there was a conspiracy between our government and Israel at the time, so that's the reason why they didn't pursue it and why the investigations and the interrogations were done and covered up because of the alliance between Israel and the United States, which I think is wrong. I don't care who they are. Just don't slap a hand for killing 34 guys and wounding over 172 people on board a ship for no apparent reason. As far as I'm concerned, it's just outright murder.
And so 42 years after the Israelis bombed an American warship, the survivors of the USS Liberty are still demanding justice. They say they will continue to raise awareness about a provocative act of war that the United States not only refused to respond to, but also help cover up. Jahan Hafiz, Press TV, Washington.
Israel seems to have gotten away with that one. The second boat that was attacked by the Israeli military is the Mavi Marmara. And here's David Rovix telling the story through this song.
48, they were driven out at the point of a machine gun. families fled in fear to Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. They fled around the globe, firmly held in terrorist grip, and about a million refugees ended up in the Gaza Strip. 1967, the IDF moved in, and the refugees in Gaza became refugees again. Settlers took their farmland, soldiers took the ports, and the people were surrounded by military forts. In 2007, they cut it off completely. No access to the borders, no access to the sea. The world began to see this unavoidable stamp. The most crowded place on earth was now a concentration camp. Israeli jet fighters bombed Gaza from the air, and they kept out the supplies needed to rebuild and repair. They kept out the convoys of humanitarian aid, anemic children going hungry, crushed and burned in bombing raids from around the world. Good people tried to get across the border to the other side. Almost all of them were turned away, deported back to Turkey, Jordan, France, the USA. They were barred from ever coming back. Adam and Huwaita decided on a different tack. They loaded up a boat and managed to get through. That's when activists in Istanbul decided what to do. Armed with food and wheelchairs and prosthetic limbs for victims of the bombing raids to wear, they packed cement by the ton. They had a few kitchen knives, but not a single gun. They were determined to reach the bay, to break the siege of Gaza and not be turned away. As they left Turkish waters, everybody wished them well. As for what would happen, only the apartheid state could tell. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. 700 people on board this Turkish ferry. They were 60 miles from the shore, out in the open sea, in international waters, with no plans for turning back. That's when Netanyahu told his soldiers to attack. They came down from helicopters, fired guns from Zodiacs. They shot some people in their heads and shot others in their backs. The captain raised a white flag high into the air. The soldiers kept on shooting beneath the floodlights' glare. The soldiers kept on shooting. It was a free fire zone. So many dead and wounded, just how many is known. So many dead and wounded, blood flowing on the floor. The soldiers kept on shooting 60 miles from the shore. Medics tried to treat the wounded. All they could do was watch them bleed. The soldiers wouldn't let them get the urgent help they needed. Mass troopers held their hostages. The Navy towed the ship just for trying to sail to the little Gaza Strip. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. We'll be right back. every camera and cell phone. This is what Goliath does to those who dare to throw a stone. The ghost of the Exodus is shouting at the sky, but Netanyahu isn't listening, he's just watching people die. For days nobody knew just what happened on that boat, because everyone was held in jail and dead men do not float. All the world will remember what happened on that night, and to end the siege of Gaza, more will go and join the fight. All aboard the Rachel Corrie, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Rachel Corrie, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone.
In the song, you heard about the blockade of Gaza put in place by Israel in 2007. The Israeli military killed 9 people on the Mavi Marmara and wounded many others. The boat was in international waters. So far, they've gotten away with this murderous attack also. And that brings us to the third boat, the U.S. boat to Gaza, the Audacity of Hope. A new flotilla has been organized with boats from around the world, hoping to set sail to Gaza at the end of June to break the Israeli blockade that is crippling the Palestinians. As of June 27th, the flotilla was being blocked from leaving Greece due to pressures put on the Greek government by Israel and the U.S. The group is challenging this and still hope to set sail for Gaza. Israel has said that it will use any means necessary to stop the boats from reaching Gaza, and the Obama administration is supporting Israel. No surprise there when you look at the really large number of officials in the Obama administration with deep ties to Israel. I think it takes tremendous courage to be part of this latest flotilla to Gaza, knowing what Israel did to the Mavi Marmara. For the remainder of the show, you're going to hear from some of the passengers on the Audacity of Hope, sharing their reasons for wanting to help the people suffering in Gaza. Some of the more well-known passengers on the Audacity of Hope are author Alice Walker, activist Medea Benjamin, former CIA employee Ray McGovern, and author Chris Hedges. The first one is from New Britain, Connecticut. So let's begin.
Hi, my name is Libor Kuznar, and I'm a passenger of the Audacity of Hope, part of the International Freedom Flotilla. We are sailing in solidarity with Palestinians, Israelis, and internationals who oppose the occupation nonviolently. We are going from international waters directly to Palestinian waters. We will never enter Israeli waters. Attacking and hijacking our boat would be an act of piracy on the Israeli side. As an artist, I'm hoping to reconnect with another Palestinian artist and stage an art show while we are in Gaza. I also believe that through the arts and culture, we can bring down all the walls and build the bridges among communities instead.
My name is Medea Benjamin. I'm the co-founder of the peace group Code Pink, and I will be going on the U.S. boat to Gaza. I went to Gaza after Operation Cast Lead and was just appalled at the level of death and destruction and suffering wrought by the Israeli invasion. And I feel a responsibility to do something because my government refuses to. I feel hopeful because the Arab Spring has brought about a new sense of democracy coming up from the Arab grassroots, including the Palestinians. I feel hopeful because all around the world, more and more people have joined the movement for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And I feel hopeful because more Jews like myself have gotten involved in this movement for justice for Palestinians.
I'm Hedy Epstein. When I last saw Vic Arrigoni during the Gaza Freedom March in 2009, he was very much aware of my several failed attempts to go to Gaza. And he said to me, if we can't get you to Gaza any other way, we'll have to catapult you. And I wasn't ready to be catapulted then, and I'm not really ready to be catapulted now. But I am ready, more than ready, to be on the U.S. boat to Gaza, which is part of Flotilla Number 2. And all of us, myself included, on the U.S. boat to Gaza and on the other ships of the Flotilla Number 2, all of us are nonviolent, and all of us, as Vic would say, will stay human. And I'd like to appeal to the Israelis to also stay human.
I'm Ray McGovern, and I'm going on the U.S. boat to Gaza, the Audacity of Hope, because I care deeply about justice, and I think we're all called to expose and work against injustice. I think Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it best. He compared injustice to a boil, and he said, like a boil that can never be healed as long as it's covered up, but must be exposed with all its pus-flowing ugliness to the natural medicines of air and light, so too injustice must be exposed with all the tension its exposure creates to the light of human conscience and the air of national opinion. That says it all to me. And when people say, hey, McGovern, what do you say to people that say, you know, something bad might happen to you, McGovern, and you know, it'll be your own fault. You asked for it. I reflected on that and I said, well, you know, they said the same thing to Jesus of Nazareth, to Gandhi, to Dr. King. So I guess I feel I'm in good company.
During the final days of the Operation Consulate, I and another companion from Voices were in Gaza, and we could see state terror being practiced as the Israeli Defense Forces pounded areas of Gaza into rubble, killed at least 1,200 people, and all of the people in the Gaza Strip were trapped by a blockade, by a siege, which has not been significantly lifted. And I oppose that kind of state terror. We saw what happened to people in Iraq when the United States imposed economic sanctions against Iraq. And when I was in Gaza, one doctor put his head in his hands and he said, the world watched. For 22 days, the world watched. I don't want to be complicit in watching passively. And so I'm very grateful to all of the people who organized the Audacity of Hope ship and the flotilla. This is a project which I believe does represent nonviolence at its best, and we'll try our best to enter Gaza.
My name is Ken Mayers. I'm a member of Veterans for Peace from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm going to be on the U.S. boat to Gaza for many reasons, but the primary reason is that 21 members of my mother's extended family are known to have died in German concentration camps. So I take seriously the lesson from the Holocaust embodied in the slogan, never again. I believe that never again should any people be subjected to such persecution. It's a tragic irony that the Israeli government transforms the position of the Jews they govern from that of the persecuted to that of persecutors. So, as an ethnic Jew, I'm going to Gaza as an act of atonement.
My name is Henry Knorr. I'm a retired journalist. I live in Berkeley, California. I've been to Gaza once before in 2002. Before I went, frankly, I was a little nervous. As an American of Jewish background, I'd been exposed to all kinds of propaganda about terrorists and fundamentalism and this and that. And what I found were people who were warm, generous, open. They told us their stories, violence and dispossession at the hands of the Israeli occupiers. Really tragic stories, very moving stories. All they asked of me and the people, the other Americans who were with me, was that we try to do something to wake the world up to what was happening to them. Ever since then, I've been trying to live up to that commitment. This flotilla gives me another chance. It's one more way to try to bring some attention to the injustices that have been done to the people of Palestine for more than 60 years now.
I'm Gail Miller. I'm sailing to show the people of Gaza that they are not alone, that we come from across the world to show our love and our solidarity. I'm sailing to let my fellow Americans know that what our government is supporting is wrong. I sail to tell my grandchildren, Ben, Marcus, Garrett, Cyrus, Gracie, Elias, Issa, Claudia, and Quincy, that we all have a responsibility to stand up to injustice, to name it, and to oppose it.
Hi, my name is Ridgely Fuller, and I'm from Waltham, Massachusetts. I'm a social worker, and I've traveled to Gaza several times where I've worked and enjoyed the company of the young people who make up most of the population in Gaza. I'm traveling this time especially because the blockade has such a serious effect on their future. I've met many post-college students who are unable to access scholarships that they've earned. One I think of who earned 5 scholarships to go to Belgium and France, and she was never able to use any of them. And so most of these youth are under or unemployed. The effect of the blockade on their lives is really substantial. It prevents them from being able to fulfill any potential, and it's a waste. So my hope is to really be able to travel on their behalf for the youth of Gaza and for them to be able to access a more fulfilling future by having a greater freedom of movement that people throughout the world enjoy. Thank you.
I'm Robert Naiman, Policy Director at Just Foreign Policy. I'm going on the U.S. boat to Gaza to call attention to policies that violate the basic human rights of 1.5 million people. Gazans still can't travel freely to the West Bank or East Jerusalem for work, study, or medical care. Gazans are still being prevented from exporting their goods, and they're still being prevented from importing needed construction materials. Fishermen are being prevented from fishing, and farmers are being prevented from farming their land. Through my participation, I want to raise the profile of the blockade in the United States to increase pressure on the U.S. government to end the blockade.
Hi, my name is Richard Levy, and I'll be going on the boat to Gaza. This is the culmination of a long learning process for me. I grew up in a family that was very, very supportive of Israel. My parents were active fundraisers for Israel. They were active in the B'nai B'rith and the Anti-Defamation League. And I grew up active in a Jewish youth organization that was totally committed to Israel. But over the years, of course, I've learned a lot of things that I didn't know back then. I didn't know about the expulsion of 700,000 Palestinians from that land, which we all thought was just a land of milk and honey waiting for the Jews. That, of course, was not the case. And then I learned more about what's going on in Palestine and the occupation, the wall, the destruction of homes, the destruction of olive farms, the taking of water, the building of the settlements, and now the terrible, terrible blockade of Gaza. Following Cast Lead, where 1,500 Palestinians were killed and so much destruction was done, the blockade now prevents those folks from rebuilding their lives. And those folks are 40% or so under the age of 15. They're children, they're women, and they're working men and women. And this terrible blockade has to be met with some kind of activity. And although as a lawyer I would prefer perhaps to do this by legal means, there really is no avenue. So I've chosen a more activist approach, and I will be on the boat. And hopefully we will help to bring change in this violation of international law and this morally indefensible conduct by Israel. Thank you.
And here's author Alice Walker.
Our past is pretty bloody and heinous, and we would like to evolve out of it. And this is one of the ways that we can, by joining with other people who see the world similarly to us. I grew up in the South, and 50 years ago, you know, there was hardcore segregation, very similar to what is happening in Gaza and in the West Bank. And we prayed for people to come to us. We prayed for people to break through the Klan, the racist police, the white citizens' councils. We prayed for people to come and illustrate to the rest of the world what we suffered every single day. So I see this venture as a continuation of the civil rights struggle. And I see it as a continuation, especially of the freedom rides. This is the freedom ride of this era. To get on this boat, make it to Gaza, make it to the West Bank, and understand your political lineage, which is to oppose with every drop of your blood this kind of oppression of anybody anywhere on earth. It isn't right. And those of us who have already been through these struggles and actually won a few of them have an obligation to go and see where the same thing is happening to people, to join our stories to their stories, and to encourage them, especially the youth, to know that these oppressions can be ended and that it may take the rest of our lives, but we are here to start.
We shall live in peace.
And here are several more of the 36 passengers on the U.S. boat to Gaza expressing their views.
I mean, there's the practical reason that we give $3 billion a year in aid. We give Apache helicopters, Hellfire missiles, cluster bombs, white phosphorus. I mean, there's a real connection to what's going on in the ground in Gaza and what our government is doing to support Israel in terms of the UN with vetoing UN resolutions that are condemning war crimes. I mean, you have the Goldstone report. The U.S. Congress condemned a report on war crimes. I mean, that's how ridiculous it's gotten. So I think as a Palestinian, but as an American citizen, it's part of my duty to stand up and speak and stand in solidarity with Palestinian civil society.
So what we have here is a country that I live in and I'm a citizen of, and I'm Jewish as well, that is giving $3 billion a year so Israel can commit war crimes in Gaza, in East Jerusalem, and in the West Bank, and is it committed on the high seas with the last flotilla. So Americans, I think, have a special responsibility to say, that's enough. This country has to stop supporting war crimes and Israeli human rights violations that are so massive and so gross that it just should outrage the conscience of the world.
I feel that it's my responsibility as a Palestinian and as an American citizen and as a citizen of the world, I mean, as a human being. I mean, for me, I do have strong feelings about Palestine, and the more we treat it as a human rights issue, an issue of international law, the more rapidly we can move towards a sensible and lasting peace.
As of June 29th, there are 10 ships in this Freedom Flotilla II waiting in Athens, Greece to set sail to Gaza. The countries where participating activists are from include Australia, Belgium, Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Ireland, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. A boat carrying participants from several Arab nations may also join from Jordan in the next few days. Some 500 activists and civil society personalities are ready to sail, but there are worries that the Israeli forces will assault the boats using tear gas, water cannons, taser guns, stink and sound bombs, and attack dogs. Senior Israeli officials claim to have received information that there are extremists participating in the flotilla who intend to shed the blood of Israeli Defense Forces soldiers using chemical substances when Israeli troops attempt to board the ships. However, the passengers on the U.S. boat to Gaza reject Israeli army allegations of violence. And here's a direct quote from one of the passengers. Passengers on the U.S. boat have long histories of responding to injustice nonviolently and peacefully. Every participant in the flotilla has signed a pledge of nonviolence. We have been engaged in nonviolence training in the last several days. We have no weapons, and we have repeatedly offered to have our boat inspected by neutral authorities. We are absolutely not seeking any confrontation with the Israeli military. We just want to sail to Gaza. The Free Gaza Movement has said in a recent communique, Israel's best efforts to stop our boats at port, including pressure on governments, threats against insurance and communications companies, intimidation of human rights defenders, frivolous lawsuits, and other underhanded tactics have thus far failed. One of the flotilla organizers also said, "We will not be frightened by Israel, and we are going to continue. Our friends from all around the world are with us, and we are all going to Gaza." To follow the efforts of the Freedom Flotilla, you can go to the website ustogaza.org. And another good website is ifamericanew.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.